Morning, everyone. Just a couple of quick words before I begin. One is just wanting to thank all those folks who were at the leadership retreat yesterday. I think there were about 65 or 70 people there, and it was really a wonderful gathering. We got a chance to speak a little bit about what's going on in the church today. We talked about the special general conference and how that affects who we are as a church and what it is, how it is we desire to respond. We had a chance to talk a little bit about the incoming pastor and talk a little bit about how to prepare to welcome her into our midst. And then we also talked a little bit about the things that make Blaine unique, who we are and what it is that we desire to share with her when she comes to be a part of this community on July 1st. And so it really was a participatory day. So many folks contributed so much, and so grateful and thankful to those folks who were there. And we're going to produce all of the results from the leadership retreat, and hopefully you'll get a chance to take a look at it and add your own thoughts. If you were not able to be there, it's always wonderful to have folks chime in as well with their own thoughts about those things. And so we'll continue to prepare our hearts and ourselves for the coming of new pastoral leadership on July 1st. I did want to say one other word about Sam Mitsui, and that is that Reverend Dion and I were able to be present with the Mitsui family as his life came to a close. We were with him on the last few days. He was able to leave the hospital and go back home, and so that's what he really wanted, was to be back at home. Surrounded by his family, he was truly feeling a sense of comfort and peace. And so Reverend Dion and I went to see him on the last few days of his life, and we were there as he was able to converse with us. But as time went on, he was less able to converse. And on Sunday, he passed away around 11:30, and we were able to be there for that. And so while we were there, got a chance to hear from the children and the grandchildren stories about his life and how beloved he was. And then we heard a little bit from Tommy. She's such a rock and so strong in so many ways. But they had been together, as Reverend Jeannie said, they'd been together for 70 years. They were going to celebrate their 67th wedding anniversary this June, and were in courtship 3 years before that. And so got a chance to hear about that courtship and about their life together. The thing that Tommy told some of us that we thought was just so Sam was when we asked about how they started to date. She said that Sam invited her to pole vault. And for those of you who know Sam Mitsui, that's Sam exactly. That's exactly who he was. He was doing triathlons in his 60s. Miracle, just a miracle man. Sam and Herb Tsuchiya were the founders of Walk for Rice, ACRS fundraiser that has raised millions of dollars to provide food for Asian Pacific Islanders here in our community. The first time they gathered together, I think they had about 40 people and they raised $1,800. These days they gather hundreds of people and raise maybe $250,000 every time they gather together, and that is helping to provide meals for immigrant families, especially here in this community, who are struggling and suffering. There are so many ways that this building in of itself is a representation of who Sam was for this community, and so we remember him with great joy and lift up our prayers for their family. We're going to gather to celebrate Sam's life on May 11th here in the sanctuary, and so that's a Saturday at 2 o'clock, May 11th, and so we hope that you all will come to celebrate Sam's life. One of the things that I'm aware of is how much we long for a greater sense of security in our lives. When you think about our life and the way that we have constructed it, we feel like we have been so very blessed, and we try to do our best to protect those things that are meaningful to us. And so that kind of security, we do it by, you know, putting money in the bank and making sure that we've invested our lives well. We buy property because we know that that kind of investment, it's a long-lasting investment that continues to grow. But we know as well that it affects us in day-to-day kinds of ways as well. We put up security cameras in our home. We live in gated communities and have security buildings and find a sense of security that comes with that. We find ourselves getting dogs for security and having cameras. You all have seen that thing that goes on your porch nowadays. You ring the doorbell and it shows a video image of who's at your door. And even if you're on your telephone, you can actually do this now. So for those of you like me who are not too tech savvy, the doorbell rings and it appears on your telephone and you can say, hello, who is it? Even if you're not at home, you can say, hello, who's there? And then you can find out who's at your doorstep and actually see a picture of that person. That kind of security, it helps to make us feel better. We feel like it helps us to secure the things that mean the most to us. But we know as well that that kind of security comes out in lots of other ways as well. For some people, that kind of security that folks seek after, it causes them to buy weapons. They sometimes protect themselves with guns and other weapons and feel like that helps them to be secure. But the one thing that we find in the wilderness experience, we have been talking in the season of Lent about what it is to enter into the wilderness, hearing the story of Jesus as he enters into the wilderness and encounters the evil one and finds himself struggling with and trying to understand what is most important in life. We recognize when we go into the wilderness, it's a great challenge for us in our lives, and part of the season of Lent is to follow Jesus into that wilderness and to find out what is the lessons of life that Jesus has for us in that wilderness. And today I wanted to talk about in the context of security, because the one thing that we find out in the wilderness is as much as we try to make our lives secure, we want our lives to be ironclad, 100%, totally secure. The one thing that we find out is that there is no such thing. That in spite of the fact that we might do all of those things, we realize that that kind of security, it's elusive. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to save money to be secure. There isn't anything wrong with us doing things to protect our homes and our families. Those are all very important things. But we know as well that there are limits to those things also. I've talked to seniors here in the church, and it's an interesting thing. I ask them how they're doing, and they tell me, Reverend Derek, you know, we had our nest egg put away, and we were prepared for retirement, but I didn't know I was going to live this long. And just hear that angst in their lives that they've done everything in their power to prepare themselves to have a secure future and find that even in that preparation, there is only so much that we can do. And so we are challenged in that. How do we live inside of that in our day-to-day lives? We want to try our best to find that sense of security, but know that it's very elusive and that there are going to be times in our lives when we are going to have to walk out with less feeling of security in our lives. And how do we manage that in our lives? The scripture reading this morning is often thought of as just a dialogue that has to do with eternal life. But if you look at it at a very basic level, the thing that I am most struck by is that the rich young ruler is being challenged by that very thing. The ruler is being asked to have compassion on the poor and to give up all of his riches, and that he will find treasure not only in heaven, but on earth as well. Now, when he says that he can't give it away because it means so much to him, sometimes we think of him as just being a very selfish person. But what if you were to think of the rich ruler saying these words, Jesus, I am afraid for the future. I don't know what's going to come tomorrow in this life. And I feel so insecure that I want to hold on to my wealth to try to do my best to make sure that my future is secured as I go on in my life. If we heard it that way, at some level, we might have some affinity for the rich ruler, because that's how we feel lots of times, isn't it? Churches are so engaged in ministry, but find themselves struggling sometimes to think about ministries outside their walls. Why, they say? Because we don't have a secure future in the money that we have invested for our church. And we think about it in the same way ourselves. We have compassion for the poor. We want to help those who are less fortunate than us, but we want to do so sometimes with the measure of holding on to that which makes our lives secure. And maybe it is that what Jesus' words are seeking to do in the passage is to say, even your finances are not going to secure the future that you would hope for, because you will find in your life something will happen that will challenge that very notion. We've all heard those stories before, haven't we? Of people who have had things that have befallen them that fall outside of this measure of security that they've tried to create. You've heard the stories about people who were very healthy and who lived a great lifestyle, who ate really good food and exercised, and then die of heart attacks at young age. And you wonder to yourself, how does that happen? Why does that happen? And we wonder to ourselves, what use is there then if we in our own lives can't be more secure with our future? If we try to take good care of ourselves but still find that we can only do so much. We hear stories about folks. You all heard about this story about the shooting at Lake Hills this last week. The people who got killed there, what was their fault? Their fault was they were at the wrong place at the wrong time because it was random. So much of life is random, and the question is, how do we manage that through our actions? How do we find a sense of security when life does feel so very random? We tried our best to protect ourselves and to protect our families, and then we have natural disasters and accidents that befall us, and we ask ourselves, how do we make sense of that? One of the most difficult funerals I ever had to do in my life was having to minister to a family and do a funeral service of a man who lost his daughter. And he lost his daughter because their home at the base of a mountain was crushed by a boulder. And I thought to myself, how do I bring a good news message to that? What could he have done to protect his family or his children in any way for an accident that would befall like that? And so we are reminded in the passage, and as we think about the sense of security, that we certainly want to do our very best to try to secure our days and make sure that we have carved out a good path for ourselves in the hopes that we will be able to live a long and full and meaningful life. But the one thing that we know for sure is that we can only do so much, and we have to find our security in another place. And I think that's what the passage from the beginning of the worship service where Jesus goes into the wilderness is challenging us to think about, is that are we going to find our security in food or in power or in finding ways to test God, or are we going to find it in something different? And ultimately, I think Jesus's interaction with the devil and also with the rich ruler remind us that Jesus is telling us that it is going to take a measure of faith for us to be able to manage the stresses and struggles and the instability of the life that we live each day. Now, when I say it that way and I talk about the context of faith in the life that we are describing, the one thing that I want to make sure that you understand is my theology does not embrace the idea that if we pray hard enough or we worship enough or we are more, that we serve others enough, that will protect us from those kinds of accidents that befall us in this life. And what I believe is that sometimes it is that the randomness of life, it just hits us, despite the fact that we are people of faith and that we realize that this kind of thing, it happens to everybody, faithful and not faithful. We find that it happens to all of us. And so first, it's important for us to think about it in that theological frame, that we realize that while we do the very best that we can in the context of our faith is not going to protect us from the slings and arrows that come to us in this life. There just is no doubt about it. When we have a recession in this country, it affects everyone, not just those people who are not of faith. It affects all of us. And we realize that is a part of what it is to live in this life. We live with certain amounts of fear, and we live with certain amounts of risk. And the question is, how do we manage that? And what I want to suggest to all of us today is that that is where the context of faith comes into play. That our faith is seeking to help us to manage our fears, to know what is, how it is that we can live and move forward in the face of risk, and find in that meaning and joy and fulfillment, even in the context of that lack of security. We can take that and go all the way to the other side and say that we just want to live long enough in our lives to be able to achieve all of the things that we want. But what we find is that if we try to make security our highest priority, then what we find is that's not living at all. Ask any parent who raises a young child, and they will tell you, especially in these days, they want to do their best to watch over their children. If they could, they'd put a plastic bubble around them and keep them from any kind of disease or harm in their life. They would watch them 24/7 so nothing would befall them. But the question is that life? What we realize is that if we want our children to grow, if we want them to develop a sense of self-esteem and courage, if we want them to understand what it is to walk in a life that will engage some risk, then we know that while we want to give them everything that they need to manage that, while we want to help them to make good decisions and to walk in ways that will not put themselves in great risk, what we know is that we cannot do that for them. We have to let them go at some point. Every parent has gone through that. And we realize that that's not just true for our children, but for all of us. That we can lock our door and put up our security fence and stay inside our homes and know that that would keep us as secure as we'd like to be. But what are we missing when we do that? And how do we find a way to find fulfillment in life if we build the wall? We build ourselves a moat and a wall around ourselves and say that we are going to protect ourselves the best we possibly can. And then come to realize that we have missed out on this life and missed relationships and joyful experiences and fulfillment, and know that that is what real living is all about. And come to find that it's only by engaging our fears and walking forward in risk that enables us to achieve that in this life. And so when we think about faith, I think that is what faith is seeking to do for us. It's helping us to manage our fears. Fears are a good thing. It keeps us from walking down the wrong path. It keeps us from putting ourselves in dangerous situations. It keeps us from finding ourselves in compromised places. And what it does is it helps us to make good choices. So having fear is good. But it's also important for us to know that we balance that fear with faith and recognize that there is no time, there is no place where we are going to be able to walk in this world where we will not have some level of fear. But we have to learn how to manage that. The same with risk. We find ourselves knowing that we will walk out from our doorstep. The moment we walk out our door, we've engaged in a certain amount of risk. But the question is, can we make the kinds of choices that enable us to do that which would allow us to live fulfilling lives even in the midst of that risk? Because if we are not willing to walk out in fear, if we're not willing to risk, we will have missed so much of this life that God desires for us to have. And so our faith intends for us to be able to walk in the face of this lack of security, to walk forward in risk, to walk forward in fear, and to know that those things, the sensitivity that we have to all of those things, it will truly help us. But that we need to find a way to walk forward in faith and allow that faith to inform the decisions that we are making, so that we might be able to, in the face of that kind of fear and doubt, in those places where we feel insecurity, that we would continue to walk forward and know that as we continue to pass through in through the wilderness, that what we come to discover is that it is in being able to continue that walk in the face of that fear, in the face of those risks, that we will try, that we will find fulfillment in this life. And so, people of God, the challenge for us this day is for us to be able to manage all of that, to think about all of that, and to know that ultimately, at the end of the day, our faith is there for us to be able to walk forward in that. But when we find that we fall down, when we find that we have faced an affliction that feels too great for us to bear, when we find ourselves struggling in this life in the face of all of those things, our faith is also there to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to enable us to know that while we are facing sometimes the slings and arrows of this world that feel so overwhelming and seek to keep us from living fully, that our faith intends to give us the strength to go on, to give us a supportive community around us that helps us to stand up, that walks with us so that we don't have to walk the journey alone, and enables us to, in this, find this fulfillment that God desires for us as children of God. And so I ask you all today to consider that in your lives. Those who have lived long and full lives can tell story after story after story about times that they have faced great risk, great challenges, great fear, and have found that their faith has helped them to persevere through that and help them to come into a new day. Where we live today, sometimes we feel like these fears and these risks that we are living with, they are even greater than they feel like they've ever been. And yet we realize that how God has been with us in the past is how God desires to be with us in the future. And our prayer is that as we embrace that, and as we allow God's our faith in God to continue to embolden us in this life, what we will come to discover is we can, in the face of this risk and this fear and this instability, still find fulfillment in all of our days. My prayer is that we would find that fulfillment and allow our vision of the kingdom and God's walking with us on this path to enable us to find just that. And as we do, know that God continues to lift us up and bring us into the promised land, the land that God has provided for us. And in this, we will come to find this gift of new life. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Loving God, we ask for you to be with us in our days. There are so many ways, oh God, throughout our lives that we experience the randomness of this life, and we struggle to understand how you are a part of that and where you are in the midst of it. We do our best to live faithfully and fully each day, oh God. We do our best to be your righteous children. But we realize even in that, oh God, that we have things that befall us that cause us great sadness and harm. We find ourselves struggling each day to wonder how it is that we would go on when it is easier for us just to stand still and cover our heads and let life pass us by. But you remind us, oh God, in the midst of all of these things, in the midst of our doubts and our fears and our insecurities, that you are with us, and that you embolden our steps and give us strength and wisdom to make good choices, and that you help us by walking with us on this path so that we might find in this a life of fulfillment for ourselves, for our family, for our church, for this world. And so we pray, oh God, that you would be with us in this. Help us always to be discerning wisely, oh God. Help us to make those good choices. But help us to know at the end of the day that when we take those risks, when we walk headlong into our fears, when we face insecurities, you are there with us to help to lead the way into the light. We pray that you would be with us, especially for those of us today who feel that very challenge right now, who are dealing with illnesses in their family, who are struggling with transitions in aging, who are struggling as they seek to raise their children in safety and in security, but also so that they might find fulfillment and joy and meaning in this life. We know that this message speaks to each one of us in some way, oh God, and so we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and allow that faith to speak to our hearts this day. And as it does, we pray, oh God, that you would enable us always to know that wherever we would go and whatever we would do, you will be with us. You will take us by the hand and guide us through the wilderness. We pray these things to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.